Well, we come today to 2 Samuel, chapter 14. 2 Samuel, chapter 14 today, and we resume our study in verse number 1. So, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, so Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was concerned about Absalom. You know, David loved his son Absalom, and they weren't getting along. They were separated, which probably grieved David all the more. He was his son, and even though he had done a terrible thing in murdering Amnon, yet David loved him. He was his son. 2. And Joab sent to Tekoa and brought from there a wise woman and said to her, please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning apparel. Do not anoint yourself with oil, but act like a woman who has been mourning a long time for the dead. Joab is going to have this woman do a little play acting to drive home a point to David. You know, sometimes truth can be right there in front of us, and sometimes it needs to be illustrated so that we catch on to it. So this is what Joab says to this woman in verse 3, go to the king and speak to him in this manner. So Joab put the words in her mouth. It was Joab's idea. He had the plan, and it was a good one. Verse 4, and when the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, help, O king. So she comes before the king, as any wise person would do, with humility. You approach the king with humility back in those days. It was just proper protocol. And she asked for help. And because she was good and humble. Verse 5, the king said to her, what troubles you? And she answered, indeed, I am a widow. My husband is dead. So the king responded to her because her attitude was one of humility. And I bring that out before we really get into her story, because that's how we need to approach God. Now, the Bible says that we are to approach the throne of God with boldness, but that doesn't mean being brash or cocky. It means to approach the throne at all. But when you approach God, be humble. Remember who you're talking to. And that's when you'll get a response. So anyway, the king said to her, what troubles you? And she answered, indeed, I am a widow. My husband is dead. Now your maidservant had two sons, and the two fought with each other in the field, and there was no one to part them. But the one struck the other and killed him. So one son killed the other son. She's down to one son now, which is kind of a dangerous situation for a widow, because, your husband's gone. If you have a son, he's going to take care of you. But if you should somehow lose that son, you're in big trouble. No social security, no safety net back in those days. Verse 7, and now the whole family has risen up against your maidservant, and they said, deliver him who struck his brother, that we may execute him for the life of his brother whom he killed. And we will destroy the heir also. So they would extinguish my ember that is left and leave to my husband neither name nor remnant on the earth. So she's afraid that her family members are going to carry out justice against her son who had done the murdering. And now she's going to be left with no one. She's going to be absolutely alone. You know, the family members, they'll kill her son. They'll execute her son for his murder, but it doesn't appear that they're ready to take care of his mother once he's dead. You know, they're so concerned, I guess, about justice, but what about helping her? It's easy to demand justice, but God puts a high premium on mercy as well. 8. Then the king said to the woman, "Go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you." In other words, don't worry. I'll protect your son. I won't let those family members execute him for what he has done. You won't lose him. 9. And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, "My lord, O king, let the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless." So the king said, "Whoever says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall not touch you anymore. I'll protect you. Don't worry about it. You came to me, you look for help. I'll help you, and I'll protect you too. You are my responsibility." And you know what? We are God's responsibility too as Christians. When we come to him for salvation through Jesus Christ, we become his child. And it's true that we become his servants, and he is our Lord, but he's more than our Lord. He takes responsibility for our protection, for taking care of us. He is a shepherd, the good shepherd of the sheep. So let's read on. So the king, again, verse 10, the king said, "Whoever says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall not touch you anymore." Then she said, "Please, let the king remember the Lord your God, and do not permit the avenger of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son." And he said, "As the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground." He's trying to convince this woman he's going to take care of that son of his. Yeah, the son was guilty, right? Yeah, and the son in the story was guilty. He killed his brother, and yet the king is going to overlook that so that he can be with his mom. 12. Therefore the woman said, "Please let your maidservant speak another word to my lord the king." And he said, "Say on." And this is where the other shoe was going to fall, so to speak. King says, "Say on." 13. So the woman said, "Why then have you schemed such a thing against the people of God? For the king speaks this thing as one who is guilty, and that the king does not bring his banished one home again." King, you were so quick to give a righteous verdict concerning my son, even though he was guilty. You were so quick to show him compassion, and yet you're not doing that with your son. You're miserable, he's miserable, the people are miserable, and yet you refuse to do something about it. Now you help me. How about helping yourself and your son? That's the point of this story. Took courage for her to come before the king and really rebuke him in front of everybody, confront him over the thing that he is wrong about. That took courage. But you know, David's the kind of man of God, and because he is a man of God, he's okay with that. Verse 14. "For we will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away a life, but he devises means so that his banished ones are not expelled from him." That's what God is in the business of forgiveness. See? God is in the business of restoration, restoring those who have fallen away from him, not banishing them. While there is still hope, while they are still alive, he wants to restore them to fellowship to himself. So this is what the lady is saying to the king, and you probably get the gist of what she's saying. You know, God is in the business of restoring sinners to himself. So how about you restoring your son to yourself? You have the power to do that. You're the king. 15. "Now therefore, I have come to speak of this thing to my lord the king, because the people have made me afraid, and your maidservant said, I will now speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his maidservant. Yeah, maybe. She wasn't sure that David would do it, but it was right. It was the right thing for her to do. It was in line with compassion. It was in line with the will of God. And so she did it. And whether he responds or not, it was the right thing to do. And that's how we must live our life as well. As a preacher, that's how I have lived my life for 30 years, or proclaimed the word of God for 30 years. No, I have not always been right in how I have lived myself. I've made plenty of mistakes. I've committed many sins, which I regret, as any Christian would. But I've always tried to speak what was right and speak the truth, even if I felt that no one would agree with me. I've always tried to be faithful in that, and this woman was faithful to speak the truth to David. She didn't know what was going to happen as a result. 17. Your maidservant said, "The word of my lord the king will now be comforting. For as the angel of God, so is my lord the king in discerning good and evil. And may the Lord your God be with you." So she wasn't 100% sure, but she was pretty sure David would respond the correct way. And that's because David was a righteous man. You know, for the most part, he walked with God, and the people knew that he loved God, even though he was far from perfect. 18. Then the king answered and said to the woman, "Please do not hide from me anything that I ask you." And the woman said, "Please let my lord the king speak." King David, he wants to get to the bottom of this, and you'll see. Verse 19. So the king said, "Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?" And the woman answered and said, "As you live, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right hand or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken. For your servant Joab commanded me, and he put all these words in my mouth, in the mouth of your servant." In other words, the woman says, "You guessed it. You got that right, David. I guess you know Joab pretty well. These are his words." And that's something, when you know somebody, you can recognize the words that they say, even though somebody else may be saying it. You know that they got those words from this person that you know so well. Oh, he recognized that this was Joab's plan. And I mean, it just fit his personality evidently perfectly. So the lady continues in verse 20, "To bring about this change of affairs, your servant Joab has done this thing. But my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of the angel of God to know everything that is in the earth." Joab had good intentions, king. Don't be angry at him. He just wants you to do what is right in the eyes of God. And of course, deep down, that's what David always wanted to. 21. And the king said to Joab, "All right, I have granted this thing. Go therefore and bring back the young man Absalom." So it worked. 22. Then Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, "Today your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, my lord, O king, and that the king has fulfilled the request of his servant." Everybody knows that you've been good to me today, king, because you've granted my request. You recognize that it was the correct thing, and you weren't angry about it. David was very gracious and righteous to do the right thing. Verse 23, "So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem." So he went, got the king's son right away, didn't waste any time, brought him home. When we have an opportunity to do something, we should do it and not put it off. Strike while the iron is hot. I think that's a good rule to live by. And the king said, "Let him return to his own house, but do not let him see my face." So Absalom returned to his own house, but did not see the king's face. And that's going to not set well with Absalom. You know, the king graciously let him come home, but he said, "I'm not going to see him." So there's some bitterness there. He's holding a grudge against his son, and that's going to cause bitterness in Absalom. When somebody comes home and repents of a sin, we need to forgive them, or there's going to be bitterness and problems.